Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Now that we've shut down the Patreon and we're no longer putting out new episodes over there, we wanted to put some of the old episodes out here on the free feed. But due to how old some of them are, we wanted to provide a little bit of context before each episode.
So this episode was recorded on September 8th, 2022. It is our final Patreon episode that we recorded and that we will be putting out on this feed on Thursdays. And it is the last chunk of that episode. I broke it into three parts that you've heard the last couple Thursdays. This last part is all about email marketing. And so I sat back and watched the Twins game while John ranted about email marketing and kind of gave you the playbook of what you should do in your high-ticket dropshipping business when it comes to email. So get your notebooks ready, get your computer screen ready, whatever it is you take notes on, because you're going to want to take notes on this episode. So enjoy this final piece of Patreon goodness from John and I, all about email marketing.
I think it's time to talk email, John. This is your show. High ticket dropship email is John's show. I've had some experience here. The truth is, and this is going to sound wacky, the company that we took $1 million in revenue to $11 million in revenue in 2 years, we sent zero fucking emails. Like, we hadn't even got there yet. So I don't know whether that'll be discouraging or encouraging to you, but we hadn't even got there yet. Like, I focused hard on getting the ads perfect and getting SEO done well and getting our name mentioned in places in the industry. And that is it. Like, we never got around to email. We started outlining it. And I don't even know if they ever got there. I'm sure they hired some people to do it, but I don't have a lot of experience here, John. So I don't feel super comfortable making comments. I certainly can give some advice, but I'd be genuinely curious. Like, I don't know. Like, is it okay if I just kick my feet up and learn from you today?
Yeah, you're going to kick your feet up and watch the baseball. Let's be
That's
honest.
True. It is on over here.
Who's winning?
It is tied. Winning? It is tied.
Tied.
It's tied.
It's such a shit game. Anyway, moving right along here.
All right. Good luck. Take it away.
No, it's okay. I've never watched baseball hardly at all in my life. It's okay. We don't play it here. Cool. So, yeah, look, so, and I think running off the back of what Ben just said about, you know, growing what is a really big business in the high-ticket dropshipping space, probably one of the biggest, out there and not doing any email. I think that's actually such a common thing. And so probably part of what I want to talk about here, and I think there may even be a follow-on to this in another episode down the track, because there is a lot to say in this space. And, you know, I obviously aren't going to talk for hours here, but I think that's where a lot of people are at the moment with email marketing, is that it tends to be one of those marketing avenue strategies that people put off, sort of sits to the side a bit, kind of feels a bit confusing, a bit difficult. And so it just kind of gets put off and never really happens. And the focus tends to be on probably the more sexy marketing things that provide that more obvious result, like pay-per-click ads or SEO or whatever, or those sort of things. So, but you know, there is a pretty big opportunity here. And so if you think about some of the numbers, I mean, Ben's just talked about not sending any emails really at all for a business that's doing $11 million in revenue a year. Now, the commonly quoted numbers around email marketing that the email marketing tools like to send out is, if you're an e-commerce business, you should be doing about 40% of your revenue via email. Now, I am going to say that or email returns, you know, $40 for every $1 spent or something like that. Now, I am going to say that number is probably fairly accurate. For high-ticket dropshipping, the amount of sales that come via email does tend to be a little lower than other e-commerce, you know. So if you're talking about direct-to-customer e-commerce and that sort of thing, they do tend to generate, from what I've seen, probably more sales via email marketing than high ticket dropshipping businesses do. Not unusual though, they have higher conversion rates as well and all of that sort of thing. So, but certainly for a good email marketing system in a high ticket dropshipping business, I've seen it produce or up to 20% of, you know, monthly revenue be generated via people coming to the checkout page via an email that was sent, you know, via email marketing. And so if you talk about, you know, the business example that Ben's used where it's at $11 million a year in revenue, you know, could you add, you know, use email to add an extra 10% to that, you know. Now, for the amount of money you're going to invest into building out the email system for that, that's a pretty massive, it would be a pretty massive return, because email does not cost a lot from a marketing perspective, and certainly not in an ongoing sense. So where most people are at now is probably barely even started, might have cobbled together like an abandoned cart sequence and maybe some sort of little welcome sequence of emails that they send to people. And maybe now you're sending a blast email out every now and then when you remember to, or you think you want to, you need some sales and you want to send out a little discount code or something like that, get your 5% off or something like that. So, and those things are cool. But the great thing about email, right, aside from being a marketing channel that you control, probably the only one that you really own, as in you own your email list, all of that customer data that you got on there, it's you own it completely. No one can take that away from you. That's yours, unlike your Google Ads account or, you know, how you perform in search engine results. In those areas, you're completely at, not completely, but you're very much at the mercy of whoever owns those channels, right? But for your email, you're in complete control. Nobody's, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got to get into the inbox and that's something. But other than that, what you put in your emails, no one can censor it or anything like that. You know, you've got complete control, and that's a great thing. So there's probably two avenues that I'll talk about at some point on this podcast. The first is, how do you get more email addresses? I think that's a separate conversation, which I'm not going to talk about today, so as in growing your email list. But also what I'm just going to mention today is sort of where you should start, or where I think you should start. If you're the person that's in Ben's case there, where you haven't really touched email marketing yet, where do you start? Like, how do you get going? What's the first things that you should do? Because it's one of those things, kind of like SEO, that you can't do it all in one go. Like, you can't just sit down and go, well, I'm going to set up my email marketing today and it be done. There's a lot you can do here. And so the best approach is just to get started and then build it gradually over, you know, months, right? So that as you go, it just gets bigger and bigger and better and better. And as it's the sort of thing that has results that snowball as well. You know, when you first start sending emails, you don't see a lot of return, right? But the more consistent you get with it, the more you build into it, the more you set up that system, the more and more results you start to see over time. So it's important to get started, and it's important to be consistent, just like it is with your, you know, well, just like it is in business, but also with your SEO efforts. So really the first exercise that I get people to do when they want to get started on their email marketing, and obviously if you're in the Dropship Breakthrough Program, which a lot of people who are listening are, you can go to the email marketing module and hear me talk about this in a much more extended way, obviously, along with a lot of templates and examples and all of that sort of thing. We've got it all in there for you. But the first exercise is to sit down and have a think about your customer journey, right? So the great thing about email, and one of the things I love about email, is it's, aside from somebody calling up your business, right, it's the only kind of long-form communication avenue you have with your customers and potential customers. As in, you can be communicating ideas and things about your market, your niche, to them for months before they buy something from you. And so you can influence their thinking. You can persuade them that you're the place to buy from. And all of this sort of way thing, in a way that you can't do effectively in ads, or, you know, you can do it to a certain extent through retargeting and all of that sort of thing. But email gives you a much greater avenue to have an ongoing series of communications and communicate things that can help your customer with where they are in their customer journey. And so that's kind of what I want you to think about, or an exercise to go through, is to sit there and think, okay, so if I'm customer X, and obviously what market you're in will sort of determine this somewhat. If you're customer X and you're interested in buying the products that you buy, what are some of the things, what are some of the questions that you would be thinking in your head? So once again, if I think about our often used example of infrared saunas, if or I'll go with surfboards, right? Let's do surfboards today. So if I'm somebody and I'm selling surfboards, and let's say I'm selling surfboards to somebody who's a beginner surfer, right? I've got a series of boards and I'm focused on that particular segment of that market. I want to think about, what does somebody who would be interested in a surfboard, who's a beginner, what would they want to buy from me? Obviously, you should think about that. But what are the questions they would have in this market when they're trying to determine what product to buy or what product they need to, you know, solve their problem? And their problem being they want to go surfing, but they don't have a surfboard. What do they need to know? What would they love to know? You know, obviously, what would I like to recommend to them from a product perspective based on that? And what also would they love to know about my business? Like, why? What do I need to communicate to them to help them to understand that my business is the best business to purchase from? So, running through, because the reason you ask those questions is because that's going to give you some really easy things that you can start putting into emails. Because the number one problem that people have with getting started in email is sitting there and thinking, well, I don't know what to put in an email. What do I put in an email? What do I say to people? I don't have anything to say to people. And so asking those series of questions and sort of will give you the content, or start to give you the content for a lot of your emails, because the easiest thing to do is just to walk people through and answer their most commonly asked questions and that sort of thing about your market. So that's a customer journey for somebody who hasn't bought from you yet. And you will get some of those into your email list. The other side of email, which is fantastic, is obviously it's a tool that you can use to re-engage your existing customers. So people who have already bought from you, right? They're the easiest person to sell to. So an email is the primary tool that you're going to use to generate a second or a third sale from your existing customers. So a similar exercise to go through is to sit down and look at your best sellers, the products you sell more of, or the products you would like to sell more of if you're not really making many sales yet, and look at those products and say, okay, if somebody buys this product, what is the pathway for them to take to purchase a second product? Like, what's the next logical purchase for them to make from my site? So the answer might be that you've got a series of supporting products, or you've got accessories or that go along with that main product that they've just purchased. Or maybe you have another high ticket product that it would make sense for them to purchase as a follow-on. So for example, if you sold barbecues, outdoor barbecues or grills or something like that, is there another component of an outdoor kitchen that somebody would be interested in purchasing from you that's also a high ticket product, right? You know, just as an idea off the top of your head. Or, you know, if I'm selling surfboards, back to the original example, maybe I could sell someone a wetsuit, right? Commonly used products together that I might sell. So you want to map out those ideas for at least your top products. So like if you've got 10 top products, and most of us have, you know, particular products that we sell more of than most of the products on our site, that's where you want to start for your returning customers. And what you're going to do is you're then, based on the answer to, you know, what are their next purchases, that's going to then help you shape email sequences for people who buy each of those products. And this is really the key here. You don't just have one flow that goes to everyone, right? Email is best when it's segmented, when it's specific to an action that an individual has taken on your site. So you don't have one flow that goes to everybody who buys any product after they purchase, right? You should have a separate series of emails that go for, you know, individual products on your site. So if person bought product X, they go into this segment. If person bought product Y, they go into a different segment, and they're going to get a little bit of a different mix of emails that's more specific to the product that they just bought. I'm going to take a breath there, Ben. Is this all making sense?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
I'm kind of ranting.
I think breaking it down into like how you can get through this stuff simply is probably the best. Like, what is the first thing you should do? You should set up an abandoned cart sequence, right? Like, that is the easiest win you can have on your store. And like, I think, and I'm just assuming here, because John knows that John built most of the course. I'm assuming John kind of goes through this trajectory here of like, what is the easiest thing to build? How can you build like the next level of things? How can you build the next level of things? And so when I said, you know, we didn't get to email in that, you know, eight-figure store, look, we had some of the standard emails, right? Like, if you don't have an abandoned cart sequence, that's more than, hey, you left something in your cart, come back. You're leaving money on the table. That's plain and simple. And don't use the Shopify ones. Go build something beautiful in Klaviyo. Build out a sequence. I'm happy to read you my weird one I have, which is just like, you know, there's a million websites on the internet and you chose us. Thank you for that. Like, thank you. Thank you for not buying. Like, I'm just glad you're here. How can we help you? If you had any questions, my team's ready for you. And just like, you know, work them through. And there should be multiple emails behind that. And, you know, what's the next step, John? Where can you go from there? And so like, I think too many people come into this question asking, what can I do in my business? And then they go like, look out on the internet for examples. And the only examples on the internet are like, build a checklist with the same shit you already have on the page and ask people for their email for like, don't give them value. And so like, if you approach this from what are the easiest wins I can get done? And then like, how can I give my customer actual real fucking tangible value? And that value might be selling them something because that's the next step in their journey, as you were mentioning. Like that, to me, that's how I look at it. So I don't think you were all over the place. I don't know. You're doing your thing, John. I think you're one of the best explainers on the internet. And I mean that. Like you're far more articulate than most people.
Yeah. Yeah. So following on from what I was saying, so you kind of map out those journeys, right? And then once you've done that, it's going to help you to sort of form in your head what your emails, what emails you should be sending, and how you can add value, as Ben mentioned, to your customer's journey and help them to get to where they want to get to, right? Now, once you've done that, I mean, there's, you know, and the other thing we do very much in the course that I think it's important to note here when it comes to email, and we link these things very closely in the course, is if you're doing content on your site, like if you're producing some form of content, which you're probably doing for SEO or whatever, then email marketing gets so much easier, right? Once you have content on your site, you can also work that content. That will give you 50% of the emails that you need to send, at least, right? If you have no content, you have to write all of your emails from scratch. And you're going to be relying probably too heavily on sending product promotion emails. You can't just constantly send out emails with, here's a product, here's a product, here's a product, buy this product, buy that product. As Ben mentions, yes, at some times that is valuable for your customer to see those emails, right? And it does fit with where they're at, absolutely, and you should send them. But that can't be all you send, right? People, because if people keep seeing the same thing in their inbox every time, they just switch off to it. And once they switch off to it, they stop opening your emails. And if they stop opening your emails, then Google stops putting you in their primary inbox, right? And then you slip into the promotions tab, which might be where you started. And then you slowly slip into the spam folder. And then once you're in there, you won't know you're in there. That's when email marketing gets a bit difficult. So you need to be able to change things up. And so if you've got even, you know, 5 to 10 really nice, you know, blog posts on your site, for example, or maybe you're got video content as well or something like that, it gives you a lot of options because you can use that valuable, helpful content as a way to provide value in your email marketing and to engage people in different ways. So I just want to put that out there as well. If you're going to set up email marketing, you can still write value-packed emails, but it's just a lot easier if you've written a value-packed blog post to then translate that to an email. And I don't mean cut and paste it into an email, but like talk about the blog post and then send people to that, right? And that's your value. Whereas if you don't have that, you're going to be having to write an email that in and of itself provides some value because you don't have anywhere to send people to as a result of that other than product pages. So definitely, you know, if you're building your business, I would hope you're doing some form of content. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast because ideally you're going to be trying to, you know, find ways to boost your SEO efforts, and content is a core part of that. So that's important. Now, once you've mapped out, you know, that sort of, you know, things that ways that you can provide value, questions your customers are answering, then it comes down to actually building it out. And I think, you know, just to make things sort of, you know, fairly simple, where you start with this is, as Ben mentioned, you have an abandoned cart flow. That's a fairly easy one, right? You should definitely have that. That's the first thing you should set up. And yeah, absolutely, if you're in Dropship Breakthrough, it's in, you know, there's stuff in there. There's even a template series of emails for you that you can just rip straight out and cut and paste and you know, obviously amend them to your business needs, but make them unique to you. But you've got that full guidance there. That's going to be like 5 to 7 emails, right? And, you know, so it's not just one email. It's not 2 emails. It's 5 to 7. And the question everybody gets, how many emails should I send? First 30 days that someone gets on your list, you should be emailing them at least once a day. Once a day, right? I know a lot of people will say, oh, but you know, it's kind of like the whole, should I have content on my collection pages? People say, but won't that turn the customer off? No, it doesn't. There's so much data on this. Emailing more frequently gets more results than emailing less frequently. Like, there is a ton of proof that that's the case and that it doesn't actually result in more people unsubscribing or blah, blah, blah. Over time, you dial it back for people. And we talk about this in the course about having a hybrid frequency model. But in the first 30 days, you should have 30 days worth of emails, regardless of how somebody comes into your business, 30 days worth of emails. Right, regardless of how somebody gets on your email list. So abandoned cart flow, they're going to get that for 7 days and then they're going to move into another series of emails, which is going to be sort of what I call your sort of general welcome flow to your business, right? So you're going to have an abandoned cart sequence. You're going to set up a general entry flow to your business, which is going to be a 30-day email sequence. And then, so that's all you need, those two things in the beginning. And then you're going to start working on a series of emails that you will send to people post-purchase. Right? So your post-purchase email sequences are the next thing you work on. And so with those, you would have one that's going to go to customers who buy your less sold products, right? If you've got 100 products on your site, you're not going to have a different email sequence for every 100, one of those 100 products, because that's just nuts and it would take you too long to build that out. So you have one for the 90 products that you rarely sell. And then for the 10 products that you sell the most of, you're going to have a variation on that email flow, as in you can just copy it, you know, duplicate it and go in and change it. And that's where you're going to start having some of those upsells and, you know, secondary purchase opportunities that are specific to those products, right? So that's what you're going to do. And those are the only automated email sequences you need to build out in the beginning. Now, down the track, when you start finding new ways to have people enter your email list, maybe you're going to have like, opt-ins on your site, different opt-ins on your site. Then you start adding in new email flows for those that are specific to those particular opt-ins. But that's not where you start with email marketing. Where you want to start with email marketing is the ways that people can already come into your business. They can come in from an abandoned cart. They can come in from, you know, just, you know, because they gave you their email address in some way, like your contact us page or something like that. And they can come in because they bought a product off you. That's it. So those are the holes that you have to plug first with your email marketing.
Can I ask some questions, John?
You can.
Yeah, thank you. May I? I should have said may I. Working on that with the kids. All right. So I kind of want to table like the post-purchase stuff, because we have like on our list the love your customer thing. I'd love to work through that. And it sounds like an episode where we can argue with each other, which is always fun. I hope people enjoy when we're arguing with each other. So I kind of want to argue on that. But the questions I would have if I was listening to this were like, okay, so you talked about abandoned cart. That's super simple, right? Like there's many examples online of how we can do this. Obviously, there's stuff in the course you can just plug and play. I'm happy to give my stuff into the course too. If you don't have that already, John, we can definitely do that. It's super plug and play. Like that's easy. You touched on two things here that I would have questions about if I was listening to this. You said, number one, go from the abandoned cart flow into like a general welcome flow for your business. So like the questions would come up of like, what should I say there, John? Like how would you welcome someone to your business? And then number two, the second question I would have around what you said so far was like, how do I even garner interest in the first place? Like what on earth would I have of value to bring to someone when they land? Like I think too many people immediately just their brain goes to discounts, right? Like and you'll see that all over the internet, right? It pops up. It's on my pet site. We offer, here's $5 on us, like a different take on a discount, right? Like we'll give you $5 rather than take $5 off. But that's often all people ever do on the internet is offer discount after discount after discount. And like that's not a healthy way to grow your list. So I already forgot the first question, but if you could answer the second question, that'd be great. I think if I was listening to this, I would wonder what to do for a welcome series, and then I would wonder what the hell do I even talk about here, or how what can I offer anyone in exchange for their email in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. So the second part of that question is how do you grow your list other than those entry points that I mentioned, like somebody buys something and gets on an abandoned cart. So I'll come to that, but like. In terms of what you that welcome sequence, and I call it a welcome sequence. I don't know if there's a good name for it. That's just what I always call it in my head. It's as kind of like your general sort of email flow. So the worst thing you can do for somebody, right, with your email marketing, is they get on your email list and you don't send them any emails immediately, right? Because if you then decide a month later you're going to send them some blast email and that's the first time they see you in their inbox, they're going to have forgotten you by that point and you're going to go to spam. Your chances are so – one of the things we're always trying to do with email marketing is protect our deliverability, right? This is a big thing because if you don't even get into people's inboxes, it doesn't matter what fantastic emails you build. It's a moot point at that point. If nobody sees your emails, like they don't exist effectively. Right. So number one, if you get somebody's email address, you must have an email in their inbox immediately. And then you can't stop. Right? You can't stop. You can't stop for 2 months and then send them an email and then stop for 2 months and send them an email. This is where people say, oh, I send emails and I get no opens or I get no clicks. It's because, and I would 99% of the time be willing to bet you don't send any emails other than when you want to. That's not how this works, right? So somebody gets in, they need to see an email immediately. And so with the abandoned cart sequence, if it finishes, let's say you have a five, you know, you spread it over 5 days or 7 days, which is if it gets to that point and they haven't bought something, they haven't responded, they're not buying that product at that point. It's unlikely. The chances past 7 days is fairly unlikely. It's getting less likely, right? Significantly, the drop off is pretty large after that time with an abandoned cart sequence. So, but you also can't stop talking to them at that point. So they can't finish the abandoned cart sequence and then never hear something from you for another 2 months until you decide that you've got a blog post you want to promote or whatever it is, or you want to have a sale. You're right. So you need to move them from that 7 day thing into another series of automated emails. And the reason why, once again, I'm not even talking about, I haven't even mentioned sending out blast emails or anything. A blast email is an email you send and you just send it out to, you know, whatever segment you want to at that time, whereas an automated email just sends based on certain rules. You want to rely on your email marketing mostly being made up of automated emails because you're not going to be consistent enough with sending emails if you were sending all blast emails. And you're going to run into problems with deliverability and people responding in a positive way to your emails if all you ever send are ones that you're sending manually, right? So you want to build this sort of into a system that you kind of set and forget, right? That's the great thing about email marketing is you can, to a large extent, set and forget. Yes, you have to review it. Yes, you have to update things. And yes, you continue building it. But a lot of your emails, you're not looking at them every day to make sure they're being sent. They're just going out like little salespeople every day to all these people based on the actions they're taking. And that's where it works really good. So that welcome sequence, you know, is just going to be about, you know people have abandoned the checkout. So they're interested, they're in your niche, and hopefully you've got a niche store that's not 50,000 different categories and target customers. So you know what their interest is. Like if you've got a site that's for people who do pottery, right? They're interested in pottery. That's their interest. So that welcome sequence, as I call it, is going to be a series of emails that just answers some of the common questions that people have about pottery, or provides them some of your valuable SEO content that you've produced around pottery. Hey, we've got this great blog post about the top 10 ways you can do blah, blah, blah. We thought you should check it out, or you'd love to check it out. That's what's in that welcome sequence. Just like general information about your market interspersed with some offers to buy products, right? So, yeah, you can say, look, you know, here's our best-selling thing in this space. Come and check it out, blah, 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 whatever that email is. Or maybe you do have an odd discount dropped in there or something like that. But it's a general sequence of emails that, and the reason, the value of that, aside from, yes, it's going to produce some sales, but it's about staying engaged with the person on your email list, right? It's about not giving them a gap in the communication. It's about, you know, staying at the front of their mind in a positive way by providing them some little valuable nuggets of information that would be of interest to them along the way until they're ready to purchase from you, right? Because I said that the drop-off on that abandoned cart so we can say after 10 days is big, but that doesn't mean somebody's not going to buy from you 30 days later. Some people will. And you want to be, for the same reason we run retargeting ads, you want to be the business in your space, the reseller, because they can buy it elsewhere, that's at the front of their mind. And so if you've got an active email marketing system that they're seeing something from you in their inbox every day, you're not going to open all of them. That's not necessarily always the point. Nobody opens 100% of your emails, but you're there. And so who do they think of first when it's time to buy? They think of you. Who has a ready and easy to access avenue back to your site? All they've got to do is open their email and there's going to be an email from you that day. How do they get back to your site? They can click on that email. Always to get back to your site or to back to a product page. So it's not always just about the emails themselves and the emails themselves producing results. There's a bit more at play here that you have to think about as being the reason why you're sending these emails and you're sending what might feel for some people like a lot of emails, right? It's not just about what's the content of the emails. It's actually about being at the front of your customer's mind, staying in their inbox, protecting your deliverability, and keeping people engaged and familiar with you.
It's got to be value, right? Like my friend George, I really want to get George on the podcast. I've been going back and forth with him trying to get him to come on. He says something along the lines of what you sell solves a problem for them. Like what you sell brings them to an end result. And the truth is they don't fucking need what you sell to get to that end result in like 99% of cases. And so can you show them how to get that result, whether they buy from you or not, whether they ever give you a credit card or not? Can you do that? If you can, do it. And they're going to end up buying from you anyway. Be there every single day and give them value every single day. And for pottery, that might just be like, check out these 5 fucking cool things I found online that you can make on your pottery wheel. Check out this cool setting that you can do. For saunas, it'd be like Andrew Huberman just tweeted out that, by the way, if you're in a sauna for 4 times a week for a month, or like 4 times a week every week of your life, like you lower your risk of all-cause mortality by like 58%. That's fucking amazing stat, right? Send them over to that podcast. That's value. They're going to learn more about saunas and they're probably going to be wanting to buy a sauna soon or go try one. Like, again, they don't need your shit. They like, there's plenty of places you can go sit in a sauna right now. So like, can you provide them that? Be like, here's what I would search on Google where you can actually go sit in a sauna and see how you like it. Like give them value just over and over, like blow them away with value. They're interested in something you're selling and hopefully you're fucking interested in it too, whether you love it or whether you're, only love it because you're selling it. You should know a shit ton about it and like the things people are asking you constantly that they want to learn. And again, you should already have SEO handled here, so you should have all the content built out. Just give them all that shit. Give them every fucking thing you have, and I promise you that will lead to more customers. Don't leave them hanging. Don't put one line of the blog post in your email and be like, click here to read more. No one's gonna fucking click here. They're in their email. Meet them where they're at. Put the whole fucking blog post in their email. Let them read it. Like, put the whole thing in there. Put the pictures in there. Do whatever you can to give them all the value in the world, and people will come back and give that value right back to you. It's an interesting universal law, if you will. Every action has an equal but opposite reaction. That's the exact same thing. Just give tons and tons and tons and tons of value, and when you, as Gary would say, jab 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 right hook, and when you go for that right hook, it's gonna knock them out, right? When you go for the ask, you better have given them tons and tons and tons of value before you ever go for that ask, and likely that ask is gonna pay off.
Cool. So the second part of your question was around how do I get people on my email list, right? Look, good question. Good question. I think the way that most people utilize in the beginning is, hey, you want a 5% discount? Give me your email. Give me your email address.
Or even worse, it says definitely like, put your email in here and we'll keep you updated on sales. And no one fucking, you have to give them a real compelling reason where they're like, oh, fuck yeah, I want that. Whatever that is, give them that.
Yeah. So please don't even bother what Ben just said. I want to sign up here to get the latest news or our newsletter. Yeah, you probably don't even have a newsletter yet. Our newsletter, nobody wants to sign up for that. Why? Because it's not specific. People attach a value to their email address, right? Yeah, subconsciously. They don't say, oh, it's worth $10, but they want, they're only going to sign up for things where there is a specific result that they're immediately going to get as a result of signing up for that. So sign up to get a discount offer in 3 months' time is not going to cut it, right? Yes, signing up for a discount offer today is going to work for people who are ready to buy now in a lot of cases. But once again, they're not necessarily the number one person you need to bring to your email list in the first place. If somebody's ready to buy now, they're ready to buy now, right? They're not signing onto your email address in a way that's going to help you grow your business. They're just signing up to get a discount, which is not necessarily helping you grow your business. So the way, the best way, there's two ways that I really enjoy doing. And once again, they're about delivering value. So, one is content. So can you produce content that people can opt in to get access to? And that content can take different formats. It could be, the classic one that everybody knows is like having an ebook or something like that. I think that's a little bit less sexy than it was many years ago. But I did one of these with somebody maybe like 12 months ago that in the health space that, it was that traditional kind of short kind of ebook thing. It had value. It had valuable content in it, and it did really well from an email opt-in perspective, right? It could be a short video course. You could find somebody who's produced a course in your space that you can license and use that. Give it away for free, right? Free value. People opt in. They get access to a course. Like there's a lot of different stuff, but let's say you had a piece of valuable content in some format. You make that an opt-in on your site. And you can do that in a lot of different ways. You can have a landing page. You can have pop-ups. You could have exit intent pop-ups. You could have little opt-in things on your, on your collection pages. You can do it in all sorts of ways, right? But it's about providing some form of value that is going to help somebody who's in your niche in some way. And you have to be able to explain to them what the primary benefit of that thing is. Right, that's the key here, right? If somebody's going to put their email address and you have to say, in this thing, you're going to learn how to do X, or after you read this, you're going to be able to do Y. like specific, not like just read this great piece of content about surfing. Like, you know, I would say, watch, after you watch this video, you're going to be able to go out and rip a backhand Rio, right? That's like, it's very,
what's that? Oh, what's that?
That's surfing talk, right? It's specific. It's something really specific that they're going to be able to do as a result of that thing. And it doesn't have to be a massive thing. Don't overthink this. Even if it's something really small, if it's still something that provides some value that they don't already have, people are going to opt into it. So that's one way. The other way I really like to do, which is actually kind of less labor intensive, but that works really well, and I've seen a few people in our course do this actually, because it is in our course doing this, and I've seen a few people do it, and it gets definitely gets opt-ins, is to run a quiz on your website or a series of quizzes. This works well. It's called a quiz funnel. There's a few people who have really popularized this in recent years, Ryan Levesque being one of them. But let's say you have a collection page on your site, right? So one of the more visited pages on your site, collection pages. Somebody goes there. It's a collection of beginner surfboards, right? Let's say I have a collection of beginner surfboards. I've got 50 different surfboards on there. Now, the customer knows they're interested in buying their first surfboard. Right now, there are a lot of different types of surfboards. They're different sizes, different shapes, different configurations. How do I know which one's the right one for me? Right? If I'm the customer right then, I'm a beginner. I know nothing about surfboards. How am I going to work it out? Right? Yeah, I can go and read a ton of blog posts and, you know, maybe watch some videos on YouTube and all of that sort of thing. Or because I'm at your site and I expect you to be an authority, you can tell me which is the right surfboard for me, right? And then I'm likely to do that. So I would place, in that case, I would place a quiz at the top of my collection page, which is like a find the perfect beginner surfboard for you quiz. I'd give it some other sexy name. I'm just thinking on my feet here. And they're going to go into that. And the first thing they have to do to get their quiz results is put their email address in. You're going to put their email address in, and there are a couple of tools you can utilize to do this. Typeform's one, write messages another. There's a few out there. Quizzer is another one. They put in their email address to get their results sent to their email, right? And then they get asked a series of questions, which will help them to determine their product needs. So for somebody who's buying a surfboard, I'm going to ask them, how tall are you? How much do you weigh? You know, what sort of waves are you planning to surf? Where do you surf? Like, you know, so I'm going to run them through a series of questions and that I know the answers to, and I've got predetermined product outcomes. And at the end of that quiz, I'm going to say, based on your answers, thank you very much. Based on your answers, this is the number one product we would recommend for you. And they're going to get recommended a product or maybe more than one. And they can click on that and go straight to the product page and purchase it, right? And now I've got their email address. And I know what their products they're interested in because I know what page that particular quiz was in. I can then send them a series of emails to follow that up and say, hey, look, you're interested in beginner surfing. You know, this is the board we recommend. And then I could send them up once again, intersperse that with valuable content about being a beginner surfer and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and keep making a few product offers interspersed with that. And one, you know, not only have I helped them in the first place, so the chances of them buying that product right then and there is increased because I've cut down them deciding which of these 50 products they want to buy by presenting them with, I'm the authority and the authority is telling them this is the board we recommend for you, right? So the chance of them buying anything has just shot up dramatically, I think. But then I can also follow them up on that as well if they don't buy it in the first place. And I can be fairly specific about that because I know what they were looking at. I know what. So I would have a unique quiz for that one collection page. So I know they opted into that particular quiz. So they're interested in these particular products. And I can talk to them in a very specific way about that in my emails that follow on from that. And so that's a really good one to do, I think, particularly for high ticket dropshipping stores, because you tend to have a lot of products and a lot of product choice, more than, say, a direct-to-customer brand that sells their own product and they've got like two products on their site. Right, you don't need to do this for those people so much, that because they're there to buy one product. you've got typically a large selection of products, and customers do have trouble working out which one's the right one for them. That's why we talk about having versus blog posts and like things that compare products to each other and all of this sort of stuff. It's to help the customer. But what the customer really wants is for you to just tell them what they should buy based on their needs. That's what they really secretly want. They don't want to have to sift through and compare five different product pages, and it's confusing, and who cares? They don't have much time, right? The little quiz is like the salesman in a physical retail store who walks up and say, oh, what are you looking for? What do you need? Okay, what are you going to do with it? Okay, well, come over here, sir. This is the product you should buy. That's what happens traditionally in retail. On an e-commerce site, you can't do that, right? Because you're not physically there with the customer. But if you have a quiz that asks them the questions that you would ask them if you were there with them physically to help them work out what's the right product for them, it can kind of serve that role. And I think that's a benefit for your conversion rate optimization. So, yeah, that's a great way to get it. That gets email addresses, 100%.
Well, my brain is spinning on the quiz one because we started doing it on the pet products, and I can imagine like the flows you would take them in afterwards. Even if you recommended one product or a set of products, you're probably going to recommend ones that you've already created versus content on, right? And so like your follow-up content is going to be like, have you compared these two?
Yeah.
Hey, check it out. We've done this piece of content for you already. You know what I mean? And so I think we could geek out on this even more if we had like someone's website. So we do this every episode. No one ever reaches out. But if you're listening and you made it this far, we want to use your website and just give you your email plan. So send us an email, dropshippatreonpodcast@gmail.com. Cool. Thanks for listening.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.